Have you ever found yourself in the pit of despair, in a place of depression, discouragement? Listen in as we unpack this topic and give you some tools for your toolbox for how to climb out of the pit of depression. These are practical tools that you can use right now to get out of that pit. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is August 15th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the New Living Translation for the Old Testament and for the New Testament. Deuteronomy 7, 1 to 11. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are about to enter and occupy, he will clear away many nations ahead of you. The Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. These seven nations are greater and more numerous than you. When the Lord your God hands these nations over to you and you conquer them, you must completely destroy them. Make no treaties with them and show them no mercy. You must not intermarry with them. Do not let your daughters and sons marry their sons and daughters, for they will lead your children away from me to worship other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and he will quickly destroy you. This is what you must do. You must break down their pagan altars and shatter their sacred pillars. Cut down their Asherah poles and burn their idols. For you are a holy people who belong to the Lord your God. Of all the people on earth, the Lord your God has chosen you to be his own special treasure. The Lord did not set his heart on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other nations, for you were the smallest of all nations. Rather, it was simply that the Lord loves you, and he was keeping an oath he had sworn to your ancestors. That is why the Lord rescued you with such a strong hand from your slavery and from the oppressive hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. But he does not hesitate to punish and destroy those who reject him. Therefore, you must obey all these commands, decrees, and regulations I am giving you today. Nehemiah 9:22-10:39. Then you, the Lord, helped our ancestors conquer great kingdoms and many nations, and you placed your people in every corner of the land. They completely took over the land of King Sihon of Heshbon and the land of King Og of Bashan. You made their descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and brought them into the land you had promised to their ancestors. They went in and took possession of the land. You subdued whole nations before them. Even the kings and the Canaanites who inhabited the land were powerless. Your people could deal with them as they pleased. Our ancestors captured fortified cities and fertile land. They took over houses full of good things with cisterns already dug and vineyards and olive groves and orchards in abundance. So they ate until they were full and grew fat and enjoyed themselves in all your blessings. But despite all this, they were disobedient and rebelled against you. They threw away your law. They killed the prophets who encouraged them to return to you. And they committed terrible blasphemies. So you handed them over to their enemies. But in their time of trouble, they cried to you, and you heard them from heaven. In great mercy, you sent them deliverers who rescued them from their enemies. But when all was going well, your people turned to sin again, and once more you let their enemies conquer them. Yet, whenever your people cried to you again for help, you listened once more from heaven. In your wonderful mercy, you rescued them repeatedly. You warned them to return to your law, but they became proud and obstinate and disobeyed your commands. They did not follow your regulations by which people will find life if only they obey. They stubbornly turned their backs on you and refused to listen. In your love, you were patient with them for many years. You sent your Spirit, who, through the prophets, warned them about their sins. But still, they wouldn't listen. So once again, you allowed the pagan inhabitants of the land to conquer them. But in your great mercy, you did not destroy them completely or abandon them forever. What a gracious and merciful God you are. And now, our God, the great and mighty and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of unfailing love, do not let all the hardships we have suffered be as nothing to you. Great trouble has come upon us and upon our kings and princes and priests and prophets and ancestors from the days when the kings of Assyria first triumphed over us until now. Every time you punished us, you were being just. We have sinned greatly, and you gave us only what we deserved. Our kings, princes, priests, and ancestors did not obey your law or listen to your commands and solemn warnings. Even while they had their own kingdom, they did not serve you, even though you showered your goodness on them. You gave them a large, fertile land, but they refused to turn from their wickedness. So now, today, we are slaves here in the land of plenty that you gave to our ancestors. We are slaves among all this abundance. The lush produce of this land piles up in the hands of the kings whom you have set over us because of our sins. They have power over us and our cattle. We serve them at their pleasure, and we are in great misery. Yet, in spite of all this, we are making a solemn promise and putting it in writing. On this sealed document are the names of our princes and Levites and priests. The document was ratified and sealed with the following names: Nehemiah the governor, son of Hakaliah. The priests who signed were Zedekiah, Sariah, Azariah, Jeremiah, Hasher, Amariah, Malkijah, Hattush, Shebaniah, Maluk, Harim, Merimoth, Obadiah, Daniel, Ginnathon, Baruch, Meshulam, Abijah, Mijumam, Maziah, Bilgai, and Shemaiah. These were the priests. The Levites who signed were Jeshua, son of Azaniah, Benui from the family of Henadad, Kadmiel and their fellow Levites, Shebaniah, Hodiah, Kalita, Peliah, Hanan, Micah, Rahab, Hashabiah, Zakur, Sherebiah, Shebaniah, Hodiah, Bani, and Beninu. The leaders who signed were Parosh, Pahath Moab, Elam, Zatu, Bani, Buni, Asgad, Babai, Adonijah, Bigvai, Adin, Atur, Hezekiah, Azur, Hodiah, Hashum, Beziah, Harif, Anathoth, Nabai, Magpiash, Meshulam, Hezer, Meshezabel, Zadok, Jedua, Pelatiah, Hanan, Aniah, Hoshea, Hananiah, Hashub, Halohesh, Pilhah, Shobek, Rehum, Hashabna, Masiah, Ahiah, Hanan, Anan, Maluk, Harim, and Bana. The rest of the people, the priests, Levites, gatekeepers, singers, temple servants, and all who had separated themselves from the pagan people of the land in order to serve God, and who were old enough to understand, now all heartily bound themselves with an oath. They vowed to accept the curse of God if they failed to obey the law of God as issued by his servant Moses. They solemnly promised to carefully follow all the commands, laws, and regulations of the Lord their God. We promise not to let our daughters marry the pagan people of the land, nor to let our sons marry their daughters. We further promise that if the people of the land should bring any merchandise or grain to be sold on the Sabbath or on any other holy day, we will refuse to buy it. And we promise not to do any work every seventh year and to cancel the debts owed to us by other Jews. In addition, we promise to obey the command to pay the annual temple tax of an eighth of an ounce of silver, so that there will be enough money to care for the temple of our God. This will provide for the bread of the presence, for the regular grain offerings and burnt offerings, for the offerings on the Sabbaths, the new moon celebrations, and the annual festivals, for the holy offerings and for the sin offerings to make atonement for Israel. It will also provide for the other items necessary for the work of the temple of our God. We have cast sacred lots to determine when, at regular times each year, the families of the priests, Levites, and the common people should bring wood to God's temple to be burned on the altar of the Lord our God as required in the law. We promise always to bring the first part of every harvest to the Lord's temple, whether it be a crop from the soil or from our fruit trees. We agree to give to God our oldest sons and the firstborn of all our herds and flocks, just as the law requires. We will present them to the priests who minister in the temple of our God. We will store the produce in the storerooms of the temple of our God. We will bring the best of our flour and other grain offerings, the best of our fruit, and the best of our new wine and olive oil. And we promise to bring to the Levites a tenth of everything our land produces, for it is the Levites who collect the tithes in all our rural towns. A priest, a descendant of Aaron, will be with the Levites as they receive these tithes, and a tenth of all that is collected as tithes will be delivered by the Levites to the temple of our God and placed in the storerooms. The people and the Levites must bring these offerings of grain, new wine, and olive oil to the temple and place them in the sacred containers near the ministering priests, the gatekeepers, and the singers. So we promise together not to neglect the temple of our God. 1 Corinthians 9:19-10:13. This means I, Paul, am not bound to obey people just because they pay me, yet I have become a servant of everyone so that I can bring them to Christ. When I am with the Jews, I become one of them so I can bring them to Christ. When I am with those who follow the Jewish laws, I do the same, even though I am not subject to the law, so that I can bring them to Christ. When I am with the Gentiles who do not have the Jewish law, I fit in with them as much as I can. In this way, I gain their confidence and bring them to Christ. But I do not discard the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I am with those who are oppressed, I share their oppression so that I might bring them to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone so that I might bring them to Christ. I do all this to spread the good news, and in doing so, I enjoy its blessings. Remember that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. You also must run in such a way that you will win. All athletes practice strict self-control. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I am not like a boxer who misses his punches. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, what happened to our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. God guided all of them by sending a cloud that moved along ahead of them, and he brought them all safely through the waters of the sea on dry ground. As followers of Moses, they were all baptized in the cloud and the sea, and all of them ate the same miraculous food, and all of them drank the same miraculous water. For they all drank from the miraculous rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. Yet, after all this, God was not pleased with most of them, and he destroyed them in the wilderness. These events happened as a warning to us so that we could not crave evil things as they did, or worship idols as some of them did. For the scriptures say, The people celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged themselves in pagan revelry. And we must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Nor should we put Christ to the test as some of them did, and then died from snake bites. And don't grumble as some of them did, for that is why God sent his angel of death to destroy them. All these events happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the time when this age is drawing to a close. If you think you are standing strong, be careful, for you too may fall into the same sin. But remember that the temptations that come into your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you will not give in to it. Psalm 34, 1-10. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are discouraged take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me, freeing me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. I cried out to the Lord in my suffering, and he heard me. He set me free from all my fears. For the angel of the Lord guards all who fear him, and he rescues them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who trust in him. Let the Lord's people show him reverence, for those who honor him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will never lack any good thing. Proverbs 21:13. Those who shut their ears to the cries of the poor will be ignored in their own time of need. I want to speak to you today from our reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and 10. And I want to open with a question. Have you ever struggled with depression, being sad, discouraged, in a pit, hard to get out of bed in the morning? I want to talk to you about what the scripture can teach us about how to get out of the pit of depression. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul speaks about having purpose in life. He says in verse 24, chapter 9, verse 24, remember that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. You also must run in such a way that you will win. All athletes practice strict self-control. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. So what is the goal? The goal is we are running towards Jesus Christ. He is the one who initiates, who starts us in the race. He's with us every step of the way in the race, and he is with us when we cross the finish line. He is our goal, to be one with Christ, to see him face to face, to step into the wedding supper of the Lamb, that we are his bride. He is our goal. But here's the key. He says, I run the race with purpose in every step. He also compares it to, I'm not like a boxer who misses his punches. Or if you were an archer and you had arrows in your quiver, you don't just send the arrows out with your bow willy-nilly in every random direction. There's a target, and you're aiming for the target. You're aiming for a bullseye. So one way out of the pit of depression is to seek the Lord and ask him to give you his purpose, to give you his assignment, that you have an assignment, you have a mission, you have a task, you have purpose, and that brings meaning to your life. Now, it could be something simple, something small. that maybe his purpose for you is, I want you to be the very best father that you can be. Or I want you to be the very best mother that you can be. It may be a short-term purpose. I want you to go on that missions trip to Mexico and serve and love on the people. It may be a longer-term purpose or mission. I want you to serve at your church in the children's ministry department and love on those children that are in your classroom. Whatever it is, you get it from him. You don't just dream it up or drum it up or just decide willy-nilly. You seek the Lord and ask him, Father, I need you to give me purpose. And often that purpose is very much wrapped up in serving others. Sometimes we get into a depression pit when we're focused on self. We get into self-pity, woe is me, we feel sorry for ourselves, things didn't turn out the way we had hoped. And the more we focus on self, the more we can go deeper into that pit of depression. But when we start focusing on others and serving others, maybe serving at a food bank once a week, maybe an outreach to the homeless, whatever it might be, volunteering in some capacity, serving others, then the focus comes off of self and you become other-centered. So the other way out of depression is to practice an attitude of gratitude. You can get a notebook or a journal. And every day in that gratitude journal, write down 5 things that you are grateful and thankful to God for. Father God, today I'm thankful that I have my health. Father God, Father, today I am thankful for my family. Father, today I'm thankful for this beautiful day, the lovely weather, the blue skies, for the beauty of your creation. Father, I'm thankful for my sweet little dog, Benji, who keeps company. He keeps me company, and he is just the sweetest, most loving little dog in the whole world. Just the small things. Father, thank you for the roses that are in bloom in my front yard. Just when you practice gratitude, it's hard to get into the negativity rote, the thoughts of negativity. Take a break from the reading the news. The news can be very depressing. Put on some worship music. Very uplifting when you are worshiping God, when you are focused on Him and on His nature and His character, His loving kindness, His patience, His goodness. His provision, how kind he is, how patient he is. So these are some tools for your toolbox for how to get out of the pit of depression. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Shalom.
Vish Mareka Yayeh Adonai Panavilaka Vikuneka Yisa Adonai Panav Hileka Vayasein Leka Leka Shalom.
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.